Welcome back to the Friar Talk podcast and YouTube channel. So for today's episode, we're going to be going over the top 10 shortstop in the MLB. We are all going to bring each of our own lists, and then we're going to discuss, talk about why we have certain guys ahead of other guys. But Chase, do you want to start out and give your top 10?
All right. So number one, you know, we might be a little biased in this aspect, but we have it as Tatis, or I have it as Tatis, and I'm pretty sure you two do too. I don't think there's really an explanation that needs to go into it. We're a little bit biased, and Tatis is probably the most electric player in baseball. If not, you can argue Ronald Acuna Jr. Number two, I got Trey Turner. Guy has been a hitting machine. He's starting to hit for power. Guy flies like the wind. Plays really good defense, and you know what? He wreaks havoc on the bases and basically can score anytime just because of how fast he is. Number three, I have Carlos Correa. Don't really need an explanation. Guy does everything pretty well. Has a good glove. Hits for pretty good power. Number four, I have Trevor Story. I know some people discredit him because he played at Coors with his, you know, power and everything. Guy's still fast. Guy plays really good defense. He doesn't hit for as much average as the other three ahead of him, but he's still a great shortstop. Number five, I have Seager. It's kind of hard not to put Seager in the top five. I think there's other people that may be better than him in a couple years. But Seager did sign a huge contract. He does deserve it. He hits well. He just kind of lacks defensively compared to the other guys with his range compared to the others. Number six, I got Bo Bichette. It may be his only second year in the league, but he had a breakout year compared to what it was last year. He nearly hit 30 bombs. He hit over 300. Guy's going to be a great player. Number seven, Tim Anderson. Same thing with Bichette. He's an amazing player. He hits bombs. He's got that swagger that teams are looking for. He's got good defense. You know, he hits for average. And, you know, he's a big part of that White Sox offense. Number eight, I got Xander Bogaerts. He's just a little bit lower than the other guys. He's really good offensively, though sometimes his defense lacks. That's the only reason he's lower on the list. Number nine might be a little bit more controversial. I have Wander Franco. From a small sample size, what we've seen out of this kid, he's very special. He's been hyped up for a couple of years now, ever since Tatis got promoted from being a prospect. He took over that number one role and just kind of ran with it. And when the second half of the season that he started to play, he was on fire. He was one of the hottest hitters in baseball. And then for number 10, also might be a little controversial, I had Willy Adames, just because what he went and did for the Brewers, he, you know, kind of showed that the Rays weren't using him correctly or something. He found a second wind with the Brewers, and you know what? His offense became a lot better. He was always known as good defensively, and now his back kind of follows along with it. Honorable mentions, I got Francisco Lindor. He's coming off a really down year for the Mets. He still had over 20 home runs. He still plays solid defense, but you get a really bad year. And Crawford, you know, you could argue he was an MVP candidate over a couple of the guys on this list, which is not correct. We had our beef with that, but he had a really good year. He's always really good with the glove. I just don't think he's going to repeat the same thing with the bat, and therefore he's not top 10.
Right, so my top 10 list is pretty similar to Chase's. I was hearing him talk about it. I mean, we kind of have a lot of guys in the same spot. Number one, obviously, if you have a, you know, if you want to argue with anyone, argue with the wall, because this is undisputed. Fernando Tatis Jr. is for sure number one. If he would have played all the games, he probably would have led all shortstops in WAR, probably maybe even the league behind Ohtani, maybe. But he was just fantastic. And, you know, like I said, argue with the wall. We watch him every night. We know what he's got. Trey Turner, number two for me. He did lead all shortstops in WAR, MVP candidate. He was, I mean, we saw him make some really cool plays on the field, and we saw him do that a really cool slide. That was pretty crazy, but that's just some of the athletic ability that Trey Turner provides for the Dodgers, and he's going to provide it for them for at least the next year, I believe. Really good hitter, always hits really high for average, and he can slug some home runs also. Number three, Carlos Correa led all AL shortstops in WAR, I believe it is. And I know he's kind of got this stigma around him to, you know, he's a cheater, but he did have a really solid year. Always played some really good defense and really the backbone, maybe other than Altuve, really the backbone of that Astros lineup. Number four, I got Trevor Story. I know he had a down year. I think he hit like 251 this year. I don't know how many home runs he hit, but compared to his other years, it was a down year where he was hitting 289, high 290s. Definitely a down year, but Trevor Story still got it. It's really hard to have a good year when a dysfunctional organization. Will Myers is an example of that. I don't think Will Myers is that good, but Trevor Story is a lot better. But it's hard to do that, especially when it seems like you don't even want to play for the organization. However, still a top five shortstop. Things gonna improve it next year. Number five, I got Xander Bogaerts. Not the best defensive player, but offensively he makes up for it in every aspect. I think he is. Him and Rafael Devers are the backbone of the Red Sox lineup, and you know, they led him to a wild card, and they won that game, and then they went. I think they lost the next series. They went to the championship series on the back of Xander Bogaerts, Nathan Eovaldi, Rafael Devers. So, you know, he's going to continue to prove why he's one of the best offensive shortstops in baseball. Next up, I got Bo Bichette. Fantastic year for Bo Bichette. Something I definitely did not expect from him. I think he was pretty highly touted, but I kind of doubted him. So congratulations to him. I don't really know his numbers off the top of my head. I think he was behind Xander Bogaerts in WAR. He might have been third at shortstop in the AL, but fantastic year for him. Next up, Tim Anderson. I think he's an electrifying player. I think he is him, Yoan Moncada, and Abreu are the rocks of the White Sox lineup. I think Tim Anderson is probably the most electrifying player in that lineup that, you know, I think every team needs. So I don't know his WAR or anything. I don't know all these guys' stats, but I'm just going based off my opinion and what I've seen. Next up, Brandon Crawford. I think he was third or fourth in WAR with the 5-something. I'm not entirely sure, but I know it's kind of controversial to have him so low. He's eighth for me, I think it is. Yeah, it looks like he's eighth. So, I mean, plays fantastic defense year in, year out. He's probably a gold glove candidate year in, year out, maybe even a gold glove winner. So, like I said, amazing defense. It's just with the bat, I need to see it again. I need to see what he did this year again, because I kind of feel like I think it's going to end up being a fluke. I don't think that Giants lineup is going to do it again. However, I said that all last year, and they kept proving me wrong over and over and over. So, I mean, probably could see it again. Next up, Wander Franco. Same exact spot as Chase at number 9. If you take his season and you take it over an 162-game season, he was on pace for like an 8 or 9 WAR, which would have put him top 5 in baseball. I remember, I don't know how long the stretch was, but there was a certain long stretch where he got on base consecutively, either once or twice. I forgot what it was, but he was fantastic for the Rays. He already got his contract, and what a contract for the Rays to get him for that price. And I think he's going to prove to be the second best shortstop in baseball. I don't think anyone's going to take that spot from our guy. Number 10, Corey Seager. I didn't even want to put him on here, but offensively, he's a stud. I think defensively, he's a slug. He's slow. I think he sucks at defense, but offensively, he makes up for it. Kind of like Xander Bogaerts, except Xander Bogaerts is even better at defense. I think there's only one guy in my honorable mentions that's worse than this guy at defense. But and I don't mean it as like an errors or anything, but I think in terms of like his range and everything, it's just he moves a little slow. I think he moves like a third baseman. But hitting-wise, fantastic. I believe he batted over 300. And, you know, from my experience as a Padres fan, that's probably the scariest, the one bat I did not want to face other than Mookie Betts. So got a big contract with the Rangers. We'll see how that works out for them. And on to my honorable mentions, Francisco Lindor. It's hard to say, but I kind of feel like he's been a little overrated throughout his career. I don't know if he's ever hit over a 900 OPS, but, you know, with the glove, he's always been pretty good and had a really, really, really bad year with the Mets. But I think he's going to pick it up around his 800 OPS that he is, that he's statistically provided. Next up, Javi Baez. I didn't even want to put him here, but I did because I don't know anyone that's much better. He's kind of like Tatis in the sense that they make kind of a lot of errors, except El Mago doesn't do as many cool plays as Tatis does, and he doesn't hit as well as Tatis does, and strikes out a lot. I want to say I don't think he's on Joey Gallo level, but he strikes out a lot. Next up, Dansby Swanson. Not the best at the plate, but really good with the glove.
Yeah, so I think, I mean, my list is somewhat similar to your guys. I do think there's one big difference early on. But one and two, I also have Fernando Tatis, Trey Turner. And I'll say one thing. Look, like, obviously we like Tatis. He's our podcast logo. You know, it's a silhouette of him. However, I think you're right, Isaac, when you say, you know, argue with the wall on this one. Dude is a phenom. If you watch Fernando Tatis, like, because there's still aspects of his game that he's cleaning up, and it just makes you think, okay, this guy can be that good. I definitely put him at number one, and I would find it very interesting if you don't have him at number one. I don't really know what the argument is or who you would put ahead of him, because we have Turner at two, and it would be pretty far-fetched to say that Trey Turner is a better player than Fernando Tatis. Number three, so you guys both had Correa at three, right? Okay. I do not have Correa at three. And I will say this right here. I think Correa, I'm not trying to rip into Correa. I think he's one of those guys that is a little bit overrated. And he gets talked about like he's one of the best players in the league, which, yeah, he's a star player. He's going to make a ton of money. He's going to make over $300 million. Is he the overrated, like as overrated as like Francisco Lindor? I would argue no. But I think that Xander Bogaerts has had a better career. I think Xander Bogaerts is a better player. He's a much better hitter. He hits better for contact. He has better power numbers. Defensively, if you look over the last few years, a lot of Xander Bogaerts' numbers, a lot of his metrics are better. I would still say that Correa is a better defensive shortstop, just watching Correa. But Carlos Correa doesn't put up the offensive numbers that you'd expect from like a guy that gets so hyped up. Is that because they won the World Series? Plays with Altuve, you know, the Astros whole cheating scandal, which I won't get into. Is that like why he's become such like a polarizing name? I would say yes, but I think that Xander Bogaerts is a better player right now. If you're looking at guys that are top, like in terms of like contact hitting, right? Just ability to hit. Xander Bogaerts is one of the best players in the league at that. The Padres would die to have a guy like Xander Bogaerts at the top of their lineup, you know, to have him ahead of Fernando and Manny. That's what the like every team wants. Like you want a guy like that at the top of your lineup. And like you guys were saying, him and Devers, those two are nasty. So I'm putting Bogaerts. I think you brought up that defensively, you know, he's not the best defensive shortstop. He's got a lot better. His numbers have improved drastically over his career. And over his last four seasons, he's putting up around five WAR, over five WAR. Obviously not counting the 2020 year, but he's had amazing numbers. So one of the best hitters in the game. I'm going with Xander Bogaerts at three. Then at four, I do have Correa. Like I said, I'm not trying to knock him a ton. I just think that Bogaerts kind of narrows him out. Cause I feel like Correa, I feel like some people will hear our list and go like, how do you not have Correa one or two? And I don't think he's quite there, which I don't know. We'll see. But so Correa at four. After that, I have Trevor Story, Corey Seager. I think you could flip-flop them. Trevor Story is definitely coming off of a kind of an off year, but then you look at Seager and you go, well, Seager was banged up, but it's kind of hard to judge. I think Seager's an amazing hitter. So you could put Seager ahead of him. I think you could easily flip-flop this, but I got Story five, Seager six, then Tim Anderson, Bo Bichette, Wander Franco. And then at 10, I have Francisco Lindor / Brandon Crawford. The only reason I did that at 10 was just because, all right, we can look at Francisco Lindor's, his career. He's had a much better career than Brandon Crawford, but last year, Brandon Crawford was drastically better. So it just kind of depends how you're making this list. Are you looking at it as last year? Because if you go last year, then yeah, of course, Brandon Crawford was the top 10 shortstop last year. But if you go throughout his career, like, no, you're not really going to talk about him over like Francisco Lindor. But coming off last year, if he can continue that, then yeah, he's a better player than Francisco Lindor. It is very interesting to see what happens with Lindor. Obviously, the Mets gave him a lot of money. And right when that deal was signed, a lot of people thought, oh, wow, this guy's super overpaid. Through the first season, it definitely looked like that. But only time will tell on that front. Bo Bichette, I had him at 8. I think you guys both had him at 9. He is a very, very – I'm sorry, not Bo Bichette. Wander Franco. We all had Wander Franco at 9. That's who it was. Wander Franco is a guy that – we have him at 9 right here. But if you're just talking talent, you can put him a lot higher. And he's a guy that we could eventually see. We could see, not eventually, we could see him as soon as next year, the year after that, climb into the top five and be one of the premier shortstops in the game. So a lot of young talent on here. Bo Bichette, Wander Franco, Tim Anderson still. How old is Tim Anderson? He hasn't been in the league that long, only since 2016. So I guess you kind of put him on the younger side. You know, Tatis, you had a lot of very, very young players here that are already playing at an extremely high level. So shortstop position is absolutely stacked. But anything else you guys want to add? And also, we will leave all of our lists in the comments. We'll have each of our lists commented below. But anything else you guys want to add?
Yeah, I said Dansby Swanson isn't the best at the plate. I just want to say, don't come at me. I know he hit 29 bombs. So, you know, he's getting there.
And I was going to say, I know none of us had Javier Baez in our top 10. Basically, he's great at the plate. Sometimes the glove lags behind. And when he strikes out way too much, he has like zero plate discipline compared to some of these other guys. You watch him swing at balls that bounce before the plate, and most of these other guys, you won't see that through an entire season, and you'll see it multiple times from Baez.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think Baez throwing to the third deck helped him in this either. I mean, we've seen him make some interesting throws across the diamond. But with that said, that's going to do it for today's episode. So comment what your top 10 is below and let us know what you guys think about our top 10 lists. All right, we'll talk to you guys very soon.